We've been looking at our resources and finances over the last few weeks, and it's been really fun, especially on Tuesday nights at Revival Prayer, just hearing all the stories of provision that the Lord has been doing. And what I want to do in the next few weeks and through the summer is move on from that, but talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit is doing here, what he's been doing here probably for the last 6 months in some of the ways we've been moving in. And I want to introduce some of you to maybe some new concepts and put some skin on the bones of what's happening when we gather here. So, if you've got a Bible, find Psalm 100. I think Amelia read from it just as we opened church. And one of the things we've been doing is when we read scripture has been standing, because in recent years, the church has forgotten that this is the word of God. I love it when people get their money's worth. And we want to show honor to God's word. Okay, my words are down here. His word is right up here. So why don't you get your Bibles out and stand, and we're going to read Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Turn around and just say to someone, God is good. Tell him how good he is. For his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Take a seat. Do any of you ever come to church a little bit distracted? Maybe it's been a busy week. Maybe you've had crazy kids. Maybe you've had an argument in the car. Of course you don't. And even if you do, it's okay. What I'm going to talk about is just not for how we come into God's presence in church, but how we can come into God's presence at any time, whether it's in the car, whether it's at work, whether it's at home. The psalmist, we've just read Psalm 100, says we enter his presence with singing. That's why we sing so much here. Because as we sing, as we lift our voices to the Lord, we come into his presence and we arrive at gates, the psalmist says. So what opens the gates? What? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's what we just read. As we approach the gates, they are open by thanksgiving. There are no ungrateful people in his presence. Whenever we are in his presence, we are bringing thanksgiving. So we thank you, Jesus, for saving us, for providing for us, for loving us, for healing us, for my job. Yes, even your job. For your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your children, no matter what they're doing. I realize this is the first weekend of the holidays, okay? But even by the sixth week of the holidays, Lord, we thank you for our children, for where we live, for the city we live in, for the park I walk in, and obviously for the cross, that Jesus, you would give your life for every single one of us and die so that we could know God. Just turn around to someone and just the number one thing you're thankful for. Just tell them. go on, just turn around and say what you're thankful for. You see, right now, you're opening up the gates. That's what we've been doing this morning. You know, the gates of heaven are not manual gates that you bolt and unbolt. They're Holy Spirit powered. So as we approach the gates of heaven and we bring our thanksgiving to the Lord, they open. So if you want to enter the presence of God, just start being thankful. Just raise your thanks to Him and you will enter. Do you know, the other night, I really don't get this very often, but literally I felt a demon come into the room. Middle of the night, woke me up, and you know, and he was, so then all these voices rushed into my head. And just for 15 minutes, I just started rehearsing everything the Lord has done in the last year. And I just started giving thanks. I was back to sleep in 15 minutes. He has no power. You see, when we bring our thanks, the presence of God comes and demons really don't want to hang out there. So we go through the gates by thanksgiving. Now, through the gates, the psalmist says, are the courts of God. There are many courts of God. This is going to be a new concept. And we enter these courts by praise. So we go through the gates with thanksgiving and we enter the courts with praise. Jesus puts it another way. He says, John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm using the New King James Version now, so I'm having to learn a new version. And in my NIV, it used to say there are many rooms. But we're not talking about little rooms. Jesus is saying, in my Father's house, there are mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's what he says. That where I am, you may be also. So Jesus receives us. So when you enter the courts, you are received. Okay, and how do we know we can come into his presence? Well, Paul says he's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now, if these mansions that Jesus is preparing is just for heaven, why does the writer to the Hebrews say, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence? You see, when Jesus ascends to the Father, my Bible says he will not leave us alone. And he will send the Holy Spirit into our lives to lead us into his glory. So the place Jesus prepares for us, we can experience now, even if it's only in part. When we enter his courts, he receives us. Are we alive? Do we believe that? You see, we're not just waiting to die to be received by Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, he receives you. So we are, when we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, we enter his arena. And so we enter these courts, and it is a beautiful place. You know, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's happening around us, no matter what hole we might feel we're in, when we enter his courts, we enter this beautiful place. Why? Because Jesus is there. We step into a piece of heaven. We experience something of the transcendence of God. Our breath is taken away. Because we're stepping out of the mundane into the heavenly. And we go, wow. Our spiritual senses are heightened. There is a connection, a relationship through the Holy Spirit. Our spirits come alive. Why? Because we're with Jesus. Everything comes alive when we're in his courts. So that's why when we gather, we lead you into his presence with singing. And that's why we sing so much, because it takes us into his presence. Now, some of you, you run in. You're ready to go. You know, you've been in heaven the whole journey to church. You've been worshiping the Lord in your car. You don't even know how you got to church. I know that happens because I follow some of you into church, and you're definitely not driving on earth. Okay? You're ready to go, so we walk into this place. You're down the front, your hands are up, you're ready to run into the gates, into the courts. Now, some of you come a little distracted. You know, you're distracted by the things that have been going on in the week, some of the difficulties, maybe some of the family issues. Don't worry, that's okay. Because as soon as you start giving thanks, that's why we start with praise, you are refocused on heaven and off you go. Why? Because you're in his space now. You're not in your space, you're in his space. And that's where we want to live. Now, some of you are reluctant. Okay, you're a little nervous. And so the Holy Spirit gently takes you by the hand to lead you in. You want to engage, but the trouble is, when you go to engage, you feel very self-conscious. You know, you're worried that you're singing out of tune. That's why it's so loud. No one can hear if you're out of tune. That's just for me. Okay, so as you feel self-conscious, he leads you. You know, maybe your hands start to move. Maybe you start to sway a little bit. Maybe sometimes you even find yourself down the front. You go, how did that happen? But basically, he woos you and brings you into the presence of God. As you give thanks and praise and the self-consciousness goes down, you start to step in. There's a few of you, you refuse to come in. Yeah, I'm not entering any of this nonsense. I just want the Bible. Tell me what God says and I'll do it. But I don't want any of this emotional nonsense. do you remember Nathaniel in the Bible? He's one of my favorite characters in the New Testament. Let me read you a little bit. We start John's gospel off. Sometimes new Christians say, how should I start reading the Bible? I always say start in John's gospel, because the reason it was written was so you would believe and that you would find relationship with God. So it seems to me a good place to start. Where's this? This is John 1, verse 43. Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's you that refused to come in. You know, can anything good come out of Leicester? Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. When I've told this story before, but when I first went out to Colombia to Avivi Miento, and I everyone's falling over and, you know, just enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit, it made me a little uncomfortable because I made it my life's mission not to fall over. Okay, and I remember, you know, my daughter, we went together for the first time, and you know, she's got a cheeky grin, and she could see what was going on, and she could see where the story was heading, and you know, to my horror, they invited all the church leaders up on the stage, and they're going around praying, and they're going boom, 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 and she, you know, really in a cheeky way says, now what are you going to do? All right, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I remember it was so clear. He said, Steve, if you can't fall for me, there's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing I can do with you. And I remember it just cut my heart, because I was like Nathaniel. My arms were crossed. Well, God, you wanna come and get me? Well, come and get me. I'm like, you don't enter the palace like that. Charles, you wanna talk to me? Well, you can darn well come down here and talk to me outside the palace gates. You're not gonna meet the king that way. You have to walk into his courts. And when he comes in, there's a bowing down. Anyway, thankfully, Pastor Ricardo didn't give me the choice, because I definitely think he punched me. Okay, so they're walking around and they're all falling, and he just took one look at me and went whack. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I surrender. Healed, I'm on the floor. There are so many Christians who either are nervous or refuse to enter the gates. Why? Because when we enter the gates and stand in his presence, everything changes. You cannot be with Jesus and not change. And there are things in our life that we hold dear that he doesn't hold as dear, that need to go. And when we walk in, everything starts to change. So, I'm warning you. If you're refusing to come in, we're going to search you out and we're going to drag you in. Amen. Kicking and screaming. That's what Philip did to Nathaniel. Look, where's the story? Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael come in towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Don't you wish you know what he'd said under the... I think he'd had one of those moments, you know, where he'd just been punched and ended up on the floor in the presence of God. He's saying, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you." This is... Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" Now, this is the bit. This is important. "You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You see, once you are in the courts and you start to look around, you see what heaven is like. And Nathanael was like, I'm not coming in. Was going to miss the glory of God, because he's refusing to come in. He's standing outside. And you see, when you come into the courts of God, you find yourself in a new space. You start to understand that heaven is open and that the angels are moving from heaven to earth to heaven, doing the bidding of the Son of Man. And suddenly you're in this space with the Lord, and you see this bigger picture. So when we enter his courts, we get to explore new spaces. And, you know, how do you know you're starting to enter? Well, sometimes the joy wells up and you don't know what to do with it. Well, let it well up. "You don't understand, I'm English." No, you can be joyful. You don't have to be miserable. You know, sometimes there's tears, but they're tears of relief. They're not tears of sadness. They're tears of, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm finally in his presence." Why? In his presence is fullness of joy, the psalmist says. So when we're in his courts, you would expect to feel marginally happy. For English people. Any of you that are, you know, aren't originally from England, you're going, what is wrong with you guys? There is revelation. You start to see and understand things you hadn't seen before. You start to understand the mysteries of heaven. That's what we've been talking about. That's why we've been talking about finance. You know, in the kingdom of God, you either live in lack or in abundance. There isn't anything in the middle. You can choose to live in lack or in the abundance of God. And he invites us into his abundance. You know, some find salvation. You've been in the wilderness and now you're in his courts. This happens most weeks. People who have not known Jesus, or and somebody's brought you along and you're in this place and people are praising and dancing and celebrating. And on one hand, you look at them and go, you're all mad. On the other hand, you go, I want it. I want that you have. I don't understand it. That's what happened to me as a 13-year-old kid. I saw these people loving Jesus. I didn't understand it. I just knew I wanted it. And that's all I needed. Jesus received me and welcomed me in. You know, just before Christmas, it was an evening service and we were leading people to Jesus. And a number had already come forward, but as you know, sometimes he has us waiting for a bit. And the Lord just said to me, he said, just wait and watch. The last will be first and the first will be last. And one of the girls who had been particularly difficult in coming to church, her flatmate being, you've got to come to church, you've got to come to church. She said, I don't want to come to church, don't want to come to church. You've got to come to church. Anyway, she'd come that night. And as she walked forward to give her life to Jesus, it was like she hit a wall. And as she walked up here, walked into his presence and she went, ah, and fell to the floor. It wasn't a scream. It was just like, what just happened? And she fell to the floor. And he changed her life. I know he changed her life because I saw her in church last week, worshiping away. You see, she stepped into the courts of God. That's what happens when we're in his presence. So, whenever we gather, we are entering his gates with thanks, and we're moving into his courts with praise. We want to encounter his presence. And then when he walks into the room, we bow in adoration. The atmosphere changes because we are received into his presence. Do you remember the transfiguration? You know, the disciples are up the mountain and they don't want to leave. Jesus is transfigured. The glory of God comes upon him. And look, if you're looking at your watch or your phone, you're not in the presence. Because time doesn't matter when you're in the presence of God. You see, he takes his time because no king has to hurry to receive his subjects. He's the king. You know, you might look around and others are encountering, and that's because they've entered his gates and they're just standing in his courts. I can always spot visitors. They quickly run out of worship. I've done my 20 minutes. You know, now let's just get into the talk. They're not used to being in his presence. Do you know if you come to Revival Prayer, we can do a few hours on a Tuesday night. And then some of you are just getting going. When we invite the sick forward into his presence, we're not praying for them. You understand that? We are enjoying the presence on them and they get healed. And so I'm looking for the day, and just like people automatically now, they just come forward to worship, that as Jesus walks into the room and you feel the atmosphere change and you're sick, just get down there. And his presence touches you and brings healing into your life. You don't have to wait to be asked. Now, I don't mind giving some commentary and explaining what we're doing. It doesn't interrupt the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's here and working. But as we get to know what is happening, do you notice we often use the same song? beautiful face when we're healing sick. I'm learning from my friends at Avivio Miento that we use that song because then faith arises in the room, because I've watched their church. They know that when the presence of Jesus comes, the sick are about to get healed. And there's an excitement that raises in the room. Jesus is here. Jesus is going to do what Jesus does. And I want us to associate that song that the Lord gave us with what he does. And that's why we've been doing this over the last few months. Now, the rest of you, you don't have to watch while he's doing it. We just don't want to eat into worship time. So we just keep on worshiping. We're adoring him. We're in the courts now. We've done the praise. And now we're in his courts adoring what he's doing. We're just there. You know, why would he come if we don't adore him? So we're caught up in worship, in his presence. We're exploring the courts. But the people that need a touch from God are down the front, getting healed, getting their lives changed, getting transformed in the body of the church. Does that make sense? That's the journey we're on. That's what we've been doing for the last 3, 4, 5 months. That's why we're doing it. So what I want to say to you is, you know, when the sick are coming forward, don't sit down and watch. The work's just started. We lift, we just come into his presence. Explore the courts. Song of Songs says this, let me see your face, which is, I assume, where they got that song from. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. The Lord is raining upon us. Now, that's not an unusual thing in Leicester. But we don't often hear it in here. That means there's quite a lot of raining going on. The lilies is one of the courts you can walk in. And so when we come into this, and we're going to look over the next few weeks, you can look and there are places you can go in his presence and explore. And the lilies is one of them, where he feeds his flock amongst the lilies. Song of Songs 3, the watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed them by when I found the one I love. The Shunammite just look. Where is he? Where is my beloved? And she said, can you show me where he is? But no sooner has she said, where is he? She finds him. Why? Because she's in his courts. She's where he is. When we're in his courts, searching for the one we love, he is quickly found. And then what we do is we listen to the testimonies of what he's done, which produces more praise. Because we celebrate what Jesus has done, which leads us to higher courts. Because we start to ascend the mountain. So we started in praise. We bow at his presence. He starts to work in our midst and it leads to higher praise. If you want depths of worship, you have to have great height of praise. Let me say that again. If you want depths of worship, you have to have great heights of praise. Now, when that happens, some of the people who refuse to come in, I don't want to go in. Now they want to come in. Some of the people that don't want to know Jesus, but they're here, they dragged in, go, well, actually, you know, now I've seen all this, I do want to know Jesus. Because we've been in his presence, our hearts have become softer. Our lives become good soil so that his word can take root in our lives and produce fruit. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we go out into the world and we are his witnesses. Now, most Christians think that's it. You're wrong. There's more. These are the first steps into the presence of God. His glory is coming. I tell you, his glory is coming. This is not it. And I want to say to you, are you ready for his glory to come into the room? because he's coming. And I know we're in summer. I know lots of people go on holiday. But I really believe by the end of the summer, the glory will be here. He said it to me again and again. And we're going to go on a route. And we were going to do worship next week. But just the first service, he said, let's do dance. And I went, do we have to? I'm not exactly Mr. Mover. No, he said, let's do dance. Let's do dance next week. Let's talk about entering some new spaces that you've never been with me. Why? Because my glory is coming.